Okay, I will say. So I apologize for the earlier share time. It is during Seder time, so it should not impact anybody's schedule since you're in the basement anyway at this time. Right. You'll have the opportunity to learn and house there during the regular share time later. I am just suffering a little bit of post-traumatic stress from the previous storm that kind of hit, and then took many, many hours to get home in November. So because of my PTSD, we're going to learn a little bit earlier today, and then I have a meeting, so I couldn't do it during 12. But let's, I know you guys didn't get through all the Marmakomas, but we'll try and put a framework on the next sugya. So again, we finished the sugya of the contradiction, or the what to do with the two psukim of Meitav versus Yashiv, and that we resolved yesterday. So now the Gemara moves on to another question that we just started at the end yesterday. It says the Gemara, Bo'aminei Rav Shmuel bar Abba me'akronya me'rabi Abba. So Rav Shmuel bar Abba from Akronya asked the following question to Rabbi Abba. And it's a question that we've sort of in the background been struggling with a little bit as we've been going through some of the sugyos, but it wasn't clear to us exactly how do we define Iddis. We've been talking about Meitav, we've been talking about Iddis, we've been talking about the best land. What exactly is the best land? So what is his suffix? So the question that he asked is, Kishahin Shaman, when Beis Din is going to make the determination, they're going to hire the real estate experts who are going to figure out which of this guy's lands are considered to be the best. I mean, we don't just take his word for it and say, oh, you know, what do you think is the best? No, there are measures. So when we make that measurement, how do we do it? Kishahin Shaman, Bishalohin Shaman, O Bishal Olamhin Shaman. Is it Bishalom or is it Bishel Olam? What do those two things mean? So Rashi explains. Says Rashi, Kishahin Shaman, Hai Iddis Viziboris. When they're figuring out the valuations of what is Iddis, Mechora Beinonis as well, and Ziboris, the three different levels that we've been consistently talking about, how do they figure out those valuations? So what are the two options? So we have Bishelo in Bishel and Bishel Olam. Says Rashi, Bishelo hein shamin, v'hahu dahave idis l'didei dimazik yohivlei. And the one that is the idis of the mazik, the best land of the mazik, yohivlei, he gives to him. The mazik gives to the nizak. Okay, so Bishalo means we look specifically at the Mazik's land, we don't look at anything else, and we use that to determine what's the best piece of land that he has. That is Meitav, that is Iddis, that's what he has to give to the Nizak for whatever damage he caused. What's the Nafka Mina? V'i Isle Iddis V'ziboris. If he has two pieces of land, one of them is good quality and one of them is poor, Vishavye ziburis didei ki idis de alma. If the ziboris de mazik, the ziboris that the mazik has, equals idis de alma, equals the idis of the rest of the world. So what does this mean? This basically means he only has very fancy real estate. Right, so his worst stuff is the same as your average person's best stuff. Your average person's best stuff. So he's a realist. Again, let's just put, maybe we'll put numbers on it. If the ziboris of the mazik, his worst piece of land is $300 a square foot. What? That's the worst piece of land. He also has $500 a square foot, Midtown Manhattan, right? Those are his two pieces of land. But this one, the Ziboris de Mazik, is equal to Idis de Alma. Normally, if you look around and see what's the best land that people have, that equals also three. Again, the prices are made up, but just to get the idea across, also is $300 per square foot.
So now the question is, this is the Nafkamina case, what does he have to pay? If we say Bishalohin Shamin, if the what is considered to be Idis is figured out Bishalohin, is figured out only based on what he has, so what does he have to give the Nizak? 500 a square foot. Because that is his best land. So if he is the measure, then the 500 becomes Idis, and the 300 becomes, we'll call it Ziboris. Why it's not Beninus, we can figure out. But assuming that there are two lands, so we just go, we don't have the middle category, there aren't three. So we go with top and bottom. So if you hold Bishelo Hein Shaman, that everything is determined based on what the Mazik himself has, then the Mazik should have to pay the Mazik should have to pay $500 per square foot. However, if it's Bishel Olam Hein Shaman, if Idis is determined by the world, so what's the Idis of the world? This is Idis to Alma. This is Idis to Alma. So then, the Mazik can basically turn to the Nizak and say, you're right, I have 500 and I have 300, but I have no obligation to give you anything more than what's called Idis. And these are both called Idis. Whether we have a category of Idis, the best of the best, maybe we'll get to at some point. But there is such a concept. But I certainly, and again, Bifrat, certainly according to what the Rush said, that always the Mazik can pick as long as he's within the halakhic category that he has to pay. So there's absolutely no reason that the Mazik has to pay the 500 best. He can pay the $300 per square foot piece that is worse. So big nafkamina, right? The Maisa, how much he's going to have to pay, whether we say Bishalom or whether we say Bishalom. Okay, let's just finish reading the Rashi, see it inside. Right, again, Bishalo in Shem Rahuda the Idis the Diday the Mazik Yahivlay, now which is Idis for him, he gives him. Vihi is like Idis Viziboris, and if he has Idis and Ziboris, Vishavya Ziboris Diday Idis the Alma, and his Ziboris is equal, right, this case here, to the normal people, to the average person's Idis. Afiluhachi, even so, Lo Yahivlay Mazik Lenizak Elam Idis Diday. The basar arasa diday azlinon. So if you say bishelo, then he has to give his best. And we don't say, and he can't claim, well, just because I'm so great and my lands are worth, you know, so much more, and I've done a good job for myself, why should I have to pay more than generally this? No. When the Torah says Meitav Sadeyu, it's his Meitav. And because he did so well for himself, he's going to have to give from his best land. Yeah.
Why don't we just say, like, whichever one ends up being more, like, more money?
It's the same money. You're giving the same value.
No, but I'm saying, like, let's say his best is worth, like, 200.
Oh, if he doesn't have enough money to cover the debt, that's a different case. We could talk about that one day when we get there. Meaning if the debt is 1,000 and he only has $200 of the better one and $800 of the bottom one, how does he pay that? We can.
Or I'm saying, like, why don't they just simply? We're trying to say, like, it's either Haim or it's the Olam. Like, why can't it just be both? And whichever one is better. Meaning, if the Olam's, if his best is better than the Olam's Idis,
right?
Then you should use that.
Right.
If the Olam's Idis is better than his best, then you should use that value.
You're an anti-Mazik person. We're trying to figure up Shana and Pasuk.
But isn't it? I'm saying, in a certain sense, he's responsible.
He's responsible, but doesn't mean that we have to take advantage of him. Again, we're trying to.
Meitav,
yeah. So we're trying to figure out what does it mean.
It's someone's mess.
Right. So that's what we're trying to figure out. Which one is it?
Right. So
you're suggesting we avoid the question. Let's not figure it out. Let's just say that Meitav Sadeyu is right. The Gemara seems to be saying at this point we don't see that in the pasuk. The Gemara is going to say in the continuation that there are two different ways of interpreting the pasuk, and it should lead to one or the other as a result.
Is it a knas on him?
I don't think so.
The fact that he has to be the...
I don't think so.
It's like, you should have been more careful or something.
We haven't seen that anywhere. If you find a rai, again, a knas usually has to be more than the amount that you're paying. Here it's a defining what you pay with.
So that's one option. Or Rashi says Bishalo Bishal Olam Hein Shamin. V'yoyev Leim Yizibur Shadachol Olam Hu Idis.
Okay, he can pay with this one, which is his Ziboris, because it is the Idis of the rest of the world. That's the question that Reb Shmuel Bar Abba asks Rabbi Abba. Then he continues, and he says, well, let me just refine the question slightly.
Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael lo tiboiloch. De Amar b'denizok shaminon.
I'm not asking the question according to Rabbi Yishmael, who says that you evaluate based on the nizok.
Ki tiboiloch aliba de Rabbi Akiva de Amar b'demazik shaminon.
I'm asking you only according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that you evaluate based on the mazik.
What does that mean? Yeah, I was going to say
mazik's paying either way.
What does that mean? Why is this question of the Gemara? The Gemara's question, right, the question that we're dealing with in the Gemara, right, is Shelo versus Mishaloa. And it's a question of what is the mazik paying? Why does it make a difference? What does this have to do with Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva? We understand for sure why it's a question according to Rabbi Akiva. Why is it not a question according to Rabbi Shmuel? Yeah?
I already learned that Rabbi Shmuel holds when we evaluate according to Nizak. It's not one of the options here.
How? Not, how so?
Specifically, this is Shalom, which is Mazik, and Shalom.
Right.
Nizak's not listed here, so he's not getting that question according to Rabbi Shmuel.
Meaning, what does Rabbi Shmuel hold?
So he's based on the Nizak. He stay with the Ziguris of the Mazik if it's equal to the Nizak.
Oh, right? Good. In the end, right?
So just hold cup. What did Rabbi Shmuel hold?
Basically, only Shelo of the Nizam.
One second.
What did Rabbi Shmuel hold?
That if the Ziboris of the Mazik is equal to the Indus of the Nizam, you could pay the Ziboris.
If the Ziboris of the Mazik equals the Indus of the Nizam, then you can pay according to the Ziboris of the Mazik.
Whatever's equal to it. How does that be Ziboris? Well, you have to pay many times according to Nizak.
I'm not sure what you mean.
If your Benonis is equal to Zidis, you pay Benonis. Like I'm saying, it doesn't matter. It's just always based on the Nizak's best, the equivalent. That's the.
Not exactly true.
We're evaluating based on the Nizak.
Because of what we explained in the Gemara about Rabbi Shmuel. What does Rabbi Shmuel hold? We have to remember what Rabbi Shmuel holds.
It's equal.
The Gemara. In the case that it's equal, this works. In case that it's equal, this works.
No, I meant the case that's not equal.
Right. That's so why is it a question?
It's always Shalom. It's always based on the Nizak.
That's not Shalom.
Why is it not Shalom?
Shalom's a Mazik.
Shalom's a Mazik.
So I'm saying Shalom of the Nizak. Okay, fine. It's the Amar, but specifically the Nizak. I mean, it's always based on one person. It's based on the Nizak. So you're not taking into account everything else.
Okay, meaning it has nothing to do with Shalom or Shalom. It's nothing to do with Shalom or Shalom. We know that Rabbi Shmuel holds that it has to do with what the Nizak actually possesses. Rabbi Shmuel says that the first step is that we look at the land that the Nizak has. And if we look at the best land that the Nizak has, and then we see, does the Mazik have an equivalent piece of land to that? If the Mazik has an equivalent piece of land to that, then that is what he's able to pay. So we understand why then it's not going to be a question according to Rabbi Shmuel, right? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Do Amar b'Denizak Shaminan v'Kevan d'Shav Yahav Ziburis ki Idis d'Nizak Yahav Leim Ziburis." Right? Since the Ziburis is of the Mazik equals the Idis of the Nizak, the Mazik gives the Ziburis. Okay, very good. What happens if they don't equal each other?
It was a Mazik, is it? Could we go up or down?
According to Rishmal.
According to Rishmal?
Then he holds it to be Akiva.
Right. That was Maskan of the Gemara. If, right, this is you know, step one, and you have to remember the Gemara from before. Step one for Rabbi Yishmael, Ahani Gzeirah Shava, was the Gzeirah Shava tells me that this is true. The Gzeirah Shava says that even though the Pashup Shat is that we're talking about the Meta of the Mazik,
we're going to say that it's talking about the Nizak. That was the Sada, right? With the three Sadas, we darshan two, that whole Shtickle Torah. So the Zivoris of the Manzik equals the Idis of the Nizak. So then you're going to pay this. But if in step two, if they're not equal, right? If they're not equal, if the Zivoris of the Mazik does not equal the Idis of the Nizak, then we... What?
It's worth less than it is.
And the Mazik has better, well, we said up at the end that he has better land or worse land, right? Better land or worse land. So we said in the end that Rabbi Shmuel agrees, the Hanikra, the simple pshat in the pasuk, teaches us that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva in that case.
So that's Shalom, basically. It's a step two Shalom.
Why is it Shalom? How do you know it's Shalom and not Shalom?
Because it's based on his best, the Mazik's best. Once.
But he agrees with Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva hold?
Well, Rabbi Akiva is the machlokas, no?
So why don't we have the exact, my question. So why don't we have the same machlokas according to Rabbi Shmuel? Meaning,
according to Rabbi Akiva, we have a question. If, when he pays Meita, which again is a simple count of Pasuk, is the Meita of the Mazik, we don't know what the Meita of the Mazik is. The Meita of the Mazik can be determined b'shalom, based on his own properties, or it can be determined based on Meita of the Olam, Meita that's out there. So the Gemara says, it's only a Kasha according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not a Kasha. So why is it not a Kasha according to Rabbi Shmuel? So we said, because step one, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is that the Zvoris of the Mazik equals the Idis of the Nizak. And that clearly has nothing to do with Shiloh or Shalom of the Mazik. It just has to do with the value of the Nizak. But we said earlier, when we were learning Machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, that Ahanik is a Reshava, but also a Hanikra. That in the case where the Gzei Reshava does not work perfectly, because this is not equal, then Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Akiva that we look at the Meita of the Mazik. So now we're back.
So how come you don't ask the question according to Rabbi Shmuel in that case?
Meaning, you're right, Gemara, you're right. It's limited. The scope of the question is more limited according to Rabbi Shmuel because it will not be true in this case. So the Zivoris the Mazik equals Idis the Nizak. But once we establish that that's the only case in which they argue, then if you have a kasha on Rabbi Akiva, you also have to have a kasha on Rabbi Shmuel. So why does the Gemara not ask the kasha on Rabbi Shmuel as well? That is my question. Clear?
You know, Bas.
Okay.
Sorry.
One more time. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. The Gemara has machlokas whether when it comes to Rabbi Akiva, when it comes to the Mazik paying, how is the best land determined? Is it based on his personal properties or are there ranking systems based on the world's properties? So the Gemara says that question is only true according to Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel says that when a person damages somebody else, the first thing that we look at is what land the one who is damaged, the Nizak, has. If his best land equals the worst land of the Mazik, then the Mazik gets to pay even the worst land. That's the chiddush of the Gzeira Shava. So that obviously is not subject to this question, because it's not Shalom or Shalom, it's Shal Nizak. Right? It's determined based on the value of the Nizak. But we also said that when it's not equal, when the Idis of the Nizak, and then now we have a choice, the Mazik, either pay with the worse land or with the better land. So we said that Rabbi Shmuel says you pay with the... Which one we done?
The land of the Mazik.
The best land of the Mazik. The best land of the Mazik, right? Ah! Now that he's paying with the best land, how is the best land determined? If there are multiple good lands, how is it determined what is considered to be made of the Mazik?
You just say that it's the best land of the Mazik. Why does it have to be based on the evaluation of the current market price? I understand.
I, I don't know which one it is. I'm not saying. I'm just saying, why isn't it a question? If the Gemara is not sure in Rabbi Akiva how you figure it out, if you figure it out based on what's out there, or you figure it out based on what he actually has, if Rabbi Yishmael basically agrees to Rabbi Akiva in this case, shouldn't we have the exact same question? That's the question.
It's a mom question.
That's the question. And this is the question that bothers many, many of the Rishonim. Yes?
When did we say that the Mazik gets to choose what he wants to give? What case was that?
When the Mazik gets to choose, we said that... Oh, with the Rush?
Was that the,
We determine the level, then as long as the Mazik... The Rush said that as long as the... As long as the Mazik was paying within the level, he can determine which piece of land. Meaning if there's no value difference. Let's say it's just sentimental value. It's closer to what I feel. It's not an objective difference. Because the Rush can still be true according to this Gemara. That's what you were asking, right? It seems to be the Rush has already taken sides in this Gemara. The answer is no. And that if there's no other factor except that the Mazik wants to choose a land that he wants to give for whatever reason, he has the right to choose that. But that's not assuming there's differences in valuations. So the kasha is Rabosai. Why does the Gemara assume that this is only a problem according to Rabbi Akiva? It should be a kasha on Rabbi Yishmael in what's probably the more likely case, right?
What do you mean more likely?
It's more likely that the lands don't line up perfectly. I would assume they're lining up perfectly, but I don't know for sure. But it seems to certainly be very feasible if that's the case. So what do we? Why do we not ask it according to Rabbi Yishmael? Yes.
What does that mean that one doesn't equal the other? Meaning, let's say you do $1,000 of damage.
Yeah.
You could break up a field enough so you cover the same value. How can you not be able to do that?
Because if
you can divide it.
But we're talking about quality.
Yeah, but
quality of land. So let's say what I would use. Again, not knowing much about real estate, I would use value per square foot to determine the quality of the land. So you're right, I could always give you more square feet to get to some total value, but that doesn't make the quality of the land better. If Meitav is about the quality of the land, again, you always have to keep this in mind. In all of these cases, the amount of money that will be transferred from Mazik to Nizak is the same. That's not such, that was the Havamin and Rabbi Yishmael. We got rid of that. So if the damage is $1,000, you're always going to be giving $1,000. The question is, if I give Gidus of $1,000, I'll be giving the least amount of square feet. Beninus will be slightly more, and Zeboros will be the most square feet. Because the value is determined somehow objectively, and then we apply it to whatever money is owed.
So what's how do you determine the value of land? The quality.
You get experts to do it. So that's what I'm saying. Let's say we'll be based on value per square foot, which is an easy... I don't know what they use in those days, but if I had to tell you right now how to determine the value, that's a very easy way. If you do neighborhood comparisons and you're trying to figure out what the real estate market is, often the way that they do it is based on how much you pay per square foot.
Okay, fine. And also, how do we know, just remind me, the second step of Rabbi Yishmael,
mm-hmm.
is that very clear?
That was the Maskat of the Gemara. You can go back and look at it later. But yeah, that was the Maskat of the Gemara. Ahani Gzera Shava Vahani Kura. Bottom of Vav and Beis.
So there's no, other way of understanding that.
Come up with something. But again, the simple shot of the Gemara was that way. That was the Maskat of the Gemara beforehand. I wouldn't go back and change the Maskat of the Gemara because of a line of the Gemara over here that we're troubled by to try to think of what the answer is. So again, so many of the Mefarshim are bothered by... this question. So,
first step. Why did I say that? That's a weak answer, I guess, because I should have said that.
So it is. Again, the simplest answer seems to be what the Yeshiva Megubetz says.
Can I just kind of borrow somebody's? I think I left them all on the table. Apologize.
Right, but thank God so billion out there. Vizela Shona Tema, Lama Lo Sha'al. Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. Right? Why don't we ask the question according to Rabbi Yishmael? How? Who can go and tell you it is Viziboris that he has two pieces of land? Viziboris, Shalawaita Shavak, it is the Amma. Veloaita Shavak, it is the Nizak. What's the perfect application? He's saying it even differently. He's saying maybe you can avoid getting to step two. Because maybe you'll say in step one, what if the Idis of the Nizak doesn't equal the Ziboris of the Mazik in terms of what the Mazik has, but maybe it equals the Ziboris of the rest of the world. I mean, now we have two different ways of being able to figure out what it is. So as long as in some way we have the Din of Rabbi Shmuel, so it should work.
That's not always the case either.
Correct. But it should be the suffix. Maybe why can the Gemara not bother by it? It's not saying always, but the Gemara is saying never. By the Gemara is saying that this is not a question according to Rabbi Shmuel, that sounds like we know what the Din is. He's saying, how do you know what the Din is? Maybe it's the other way around. So again, we still have two options.
So he gives one suggestion over there. Let me just see if I didn't put on the answer that I wanted. Okay, he doesn't have the full answer here, I'm sorry, I took it out. But the answer that the Shinimic witness gives in the piece that he is quoting is a very simple one. And he says, Einach Hanami,
it's true. Einach Hanami, the suffix in step number two, would also be according to Rabbi Shmuel. So why did the Gemara say it only according to Rabbi Akiva? Because the Gemara was highlighting that in the case in which Rabbi Akiva has the unique shita, it will still be. Meaning, the Gemara originally asked that as a general question. So we assume the question is not for everybody. Then the Gemara qualifies and says it's only a kasha on Rabbi Akiva. So what the Gemara is saying is that within the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, which is step number one, because that's the case where they argue, then the machlokas is only according to Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Shmuel. In the case where they agree, so I don't have to explain, because that was the assumption going in, that the question is according to everybody, then we qualify it and say, oh, it's only according to Rabbi Akiva as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel. Obviously, that's only in the case where they disagree. In the case where they agree, how could he possibly have an Akivina between them? Because Rabbi Shmuel fundamentally agrees with Rabbi Akiva in case number two. So that's the technical answer. But again, there are other more complicated answers. But there's a simple answer she didn't make this case. Originally, we assume the Gasha was on everybody. Then the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds with the Nizak, it's not going to be a kasha. According to Rabbi Akiva, who holds with the Mazik, it is going to be a kasha. So obviously, says the Shita Kabetzes, what's that referring to? The case where Rabbi Shmuel differs from Rabbi Akiva about Bita Nizak or Bita Mazik. What is that case? That's case number one. In case number two, the Gemara was never excluding it, because if Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva agree, of course it's going to be a machlokas on both. And the reason to say it according to Rabbi Akiva is because he's consistent throughout. And the Gemara is just trying to highlight that in the one case where they do differ, it's only going to be a kasha according to Rabbi Akiva.
So basically, that's implied, even though it's stated.
I mean, I think it's better than that. Because again, if the Gemara started out by asking it as a general question, then the Gemara was qualifying it. So he's saying when the Gemara was qualifying it, it was actually very, very specific in what it was qualifying. And it's saying that within the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, it's only according to Rabbi Akiva. It wasn't talking about, you know, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in general, but according to where we know that they already have a machlokas, so this is the case of the machlokas, it's only a kasha according to Rabbi Akiva.
Basically only on step one, really.
Correct, but why? The question is why. He explains the why. He's just explaining that the reason the Gemara did it that way is because there was no point in qualifying a broad kasha and saying it only applies in a case and then have to explain, but in the case where they agree, it applies, because that's what we assumed going in. So the Gemara only highlights that there's a limitation within the part where there is a machlokas. Yes, Tindy?
The thing that the machlokas stays. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, in the second step.
Machlokas
say mazik, yeah, to say the locus.
No. How so?
If
again, in the second case, the Gemara that we had, if the mazik has two pieces of land, right? And the nizak and the nizak's idis, right? This idis falls in value between the two, which one do you pay?
According to
Rabbi Shmuel.
You pay who best the nizak,
mazik.
But which one is it? The best the nizak is this one. There's no land here. This land is 500,
right.
This one is 300, and this one is 100.
Right,
so which one do you pay with?
Best of
Mazik,
right.
Best of Mazik. So Rabbi Shmuel holds you pay with this one. What does Rabbi Akiva hold?
That one too.
Right, so they agree.
Right.
The only reason, though, is what the Gemara pointed out, was that was the Ahani Krah. That was where the Pasuk came back to life, the simple shot, because again, Rabbi Shmuel was trying to, against a little Hazara, Rabbi Shmuel was trying to address what Rabbi Akiva didn't like about his Gzeirah Shavah, but that the Gzeirah Shavah was coming and uprooting the simple pshat in the Pasuk. So Rabbi Shmuel says, it's not uprooting it completely. I have an application for the Pasuk pshat as well. So that is the Shita Mekubetzes' suggestion as to understanding the Gemara's qualification here, that it's not denying that it's a kasha according to Rabbi Shmuel, but it's limiting that in the case of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel argue, then it's only going to be on Rabbi Akiva, not on Rabbi Shmuel. Good? Oh, excellent. Says the Gemara now, the Gemara... Why did the Gemara have to say it? I think. Well, let's say the Gemara did. Let's say the Gemara didn't say it. Right.
Then it's a question argued. In the case where they agree, then it's a question on both them.
It's a good question in general. Meaning, there are times when the Gemara will assume that there are obvious, details that you're going to have to assume and not tell it to us, and there are other times that it does tell it to us. Why did it choose here to tell it to us? I'm not sure. Again, it's correct, and it makes it easier to read, but had the Gemara not said it, then we probably would have had one of the Rishonim pointing out that, you should realize that this Kasha is only true according to Rabbi Akiva, not according to Rabbi Shmuel. So I don't know. Again, it's one of those questions that's a little bit hard to know if it's a question or not, because the Gemara didn't say anything that's blatantly obvious that we would say pshita. It needs to be explained. But at the same time, if it wouldn't have been, we probably would have been able to figure it out on our own. But now the Gemara explains a little bit more detailed. So again, kiti boy lachali b'Rabbi Akiva damer b'demazik shaminan. So the question is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, holds that it's b'demazik. So my Meitav said they are marachamana limute de nizak odilma limute de alma nami. So says the Gemara, says Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba Meakronia, he says, you have to understand, where am I coming from that I did not locus? This wasn't just, stom in the veld, I just decided to ask a question. Is it Bishalo or is it Bishal Olam? Says there's a starting point for the question. Because what's the starting point for the question? Is that we know that the Torah says Meitav Sadeh. And we've already spoken about that it has to say. Both of them wouldn't be enough just to say Meitav. It says Meitav Sadehu. What do the words Meitav Sadehu mean?
His best field.
So his best field, says Rav Shmuel Rambam, has to be excluding something. Right? It's a detail which is coming. So one possibility is that it's his best field, but we know that there's a din which we derive from this also, right? That it's b'demazik and it's not b'denizak. So one possibility
is that it's coming to say it's his best field as opposed to the Nizak. Limute the Nizak. And the Torah wants to make sure, Rabbi Akiva will tell you, that you don't make Rabbi Shmuel's mistake. You don't make Rabbi Shmuel's mistake. The Nizak has nothing to do with anything. And therefore, when it says Meitav Sadehu, it doesn't mean his land as opposed to the rest of the world's land. It means his land, and ignore the Nizak completely. There are two subjects, two parties to this dispute, the Mazik and the Nizak. Don't take the Nizak into account. That's one possibility of understanding it. So if it's the Mute the Nizak, then which side are we coming on? Shalom or Shalolam? Shalom? We're only using his own? Sorry? Not look at the Nizak, but do we look at anybody besides the Mazik? Maybe. So this would be the side to say Bishal Olam. Because the only miyut, again, once the Torah has a miyut, it has to exclude something. We don't know if it excludes more than that or not. So the exclusion here is Nimute the Nizak. That's the first side. The second side says, no, let's take it on the most simple level. If it says, Meitav Sadehu, it means, Meitav Sadehu. It means his, as opposed to anybody else's. Not just the Nizak, but it's excluding the Halmat, excluding, don't look outside of this person's Dal Ramos. Only look at his field, which means, Bishalom. So that's the machlokas. The machlokas is, again, Rav Shmuel bar Abba is not just Tom asking the question. He says, I don't understand the pasuk. The pasuk is clear that it's coming to be mema'it something, that it's excluding something. What is it excluding? Is it excluding the nizak, and therefore, I can maybe still look outside? Or is it excluding the, or is it excluding the entire world? We only look bishalom. Says Rashi, Limute de Nizak, Deloaz Linan Vasar Meitav de Nizak. We don't look at the Meitav of the one who was damaged. Viaf al Gav dahach Ziboris de Mazik, who Meitav de Nizak. And even though this Ziboris of the Mazik is the same as the Meitav of the Nizak, Hoel Veloav Meitav la Alma, Lo Yahav le Mina. If it's not Meitav of the rest of the world, and that's not going to be good enough to give. Aval ila alma have meitav, but if for the rest of the world it's meitav, yoyev le mina, then he can give from it. Afagav dis le idis. Even if he has personal idis, he has better land of his own, if it's considered to be the idis of the world, that is going to be good enough. O dilma, limute nami da alma. It's coming to exclude everybody. Dis sadeyu davka. It is specifically his sadeh, his, as opposed to everybody else. So you're going to tell me, isn't it obvious that, which way? We would have thought sadeh was coming to say his land and nobody else's. Oh, says the Gemara, Amar Lei, so Rabbi Abba, who was asked this question by Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba Me'akronya, Amar Lei, Rachmana Amar Meitav Sadeyu Vat Amit Bishal Olamin Shaman. Torah says Meitav Sadeyu, and you're going to reach this result? How's that possible? Isn't it obvious, says Rabbi Abba, that Meitav Sadeyu means Shavuot specifically? That's the simplest understanding of the words. Meitav of his field. Whose field? His. Why would I think to look anywhere outside of his field? Yeah.
I don't get the connection between Mazik and Bishal Olam.
If the words Meitav Sadeh are coming to say the Mazik should pay from his best field, okay, to the exclusion of the Nizak. You don't look at the Nizak. So you have not excluded anybody but the Nizak. So now we are left with the possibility that what he's going to pay with is based on Meitav of the rest of the world.
Because the only exclusion.
If he's paying, it should be based on him.
Wouldn't
the most logical thing to deduce from that would be Shiloh more than Olam?
No, absolutely not.
It's to say that it's based on everyone.
Again, you could say that this possibility is more obvious because the Gemara just said that. But there's no reason that the Utei de Nizak means Shiloh.
Why not?
I don't know. Yes.
I don't get how they do Michelle Olam. You're saying
again, the fact that you think this is a better option. That you think this is a better option, that if it says make us a day, it means only him, that I'm okay with. That's what the Gemara just said right now.
I'm talking about the other, the cross, like from Lemute de Nizak to Bishalom makes more sense than to go Bishalom.
Then Lemute de Amma meaning Shalom?
No, then Lemute de Nizak to Bishalom.
I'm not sure how that's actually.
We're excluding the Nizak.
What does the word Lemute de Nizak mean?
We're excluding the Nizak.
Right.
Which means what? It's based on the Mazik.
No! That's Lemute de Amma. That's Lemute de Amma. Limuti da'ama
means anyone, not just the Mazik.
Not just the Nizak. Excluding. Limute is an exclusion.
Exactly.
So Sadehu is coming to exclude something. So you're saying it's only logical to exclude everybody because otherwise you shouldn't have said it. That's fine. That's what the Gemara just said. But the Gemara, there's no way that you say that Sadehu is only coming to limit the Nizak that you don't reach the conclusion of a Sheolah.
So if it's excluding the Nizak,
that the only one that we don't look at in determining Netav is the Nizak.
Who do we look at? The whole world?
So that's a possibility.
That's more likely than saying you just look at the Mazik's land.
I don't know.
We're going to take into account everyone else except the one person who did the damage. How does that make any sense?
No, you could take into account the Mazik also. You look at rates. Mishal Olam means you look at what's generally considered to be Nidus. Again.
I just don't get how that makes sense. To go from Lutin to Nizak to Mishal Olam, I really just don't.
I don't understand the question. I understand if you want to tell me that this makes more sense.
Yes, I do agree on that.
Okay, I don't understand how you can, if it's only coming, if the word Sadehu means his field and not the field of the Nizak.
So who's his? Who's his?
The Mazik.
So exactly. So if it's the Mazik's field, should it be based on the Mazik?
I think.
Yeah, try it.
I think he's saying that there's three factors. There's
okay.
Nizak, Mazik, and the Olam.
Okay.
And if you're saying that we're excluding the Nizak now,
right,
there's two options. There's either the Mazik you could choose from or Shalom. And over here, we're saying it's Olam.
Right, but make that the second
one.
The Mazik.
Make
the
second one. If you're excluding Mazik's field. If you're saying now that you're excluding Alma on that
we're
side,
only, again,
now you have two steps. Now you have Shalom, which is the Mazik, and the Nizak.
Again, make the Sedev is his field, correct? The Mazik's. Let's assume right now. That's excluding the Nizak. Yeah? To exclude the Nizak.
Or it's excluding everybody.
But let's just say understood.
Yeah.
To exclude the Nizak.
Right.
So if it's the Mazik's land and we're
right,
excluding the Nizak,
yes,
then shouldn't it, if it's the Mazik's land, shouldn't it be based on his land? Is what he pays? Shiloh. Doesn't
no, maybe it's based on the on maybe it's based on the rest of the world's rates of what it's considered. How do you know that you're excluding the fact that maybe Idis is a category that everybody in the world knows refers to land that's worth more than 500 square feet.
So what does it make us to do with him? What does it mean? It just means that he's the one who's actually paying?
It means he is giving the best of his...
It's so obvious he's the one who's paying. He's the one who did the damage. So what else does he tell?
I can't answer a question I don't understand.
What's it coming to teach? What is make us to do coming to teach if you assume otherwise?
It's coming to teach that you ignore Rabbi Shmuel's drasha. That's what it would say. You ignore Rabbi Shmuel. That's what it would be. Rabbi Kiva will be saying, the Pasuk is coming, Rabbi Shmuel has jumped off a boat and he doesn't know what he's talking about. We don't look at the Nizak, we only look at the Mazik's lands. How do we determine the value of the Mazik's lands to pay? That could be Mishaloh or Mishaloh.
Right,
but if it's certainly...
It's in Mishaloh.
Why
is
Mishaloh?
Because then it's
why
the same.
Option?
We're trying to figure out two sides of a machlokas. If both of them are the same, then there's no machlokas. So you could say there's no machlokas, but the Gemara doesn't have to entertain the possibility of saying there's no machlokas if the Gemara is trying to explain the option which there is a machlokas.
Yeah? I'll be sorry. Like, the whole entire sugya that we've been dealing with is really just a question of we want to make it easy on the Nizak to unload the product, right? So we want him to be able to receive his cash.
Right.
By the way, so that's why we say Metalkalin is a very high level because he'll always be able to sell it. And we say give him Idis, that way he'll be able to sell the small piece of land.
Right.
In the case of, if we're going to say, like, this pshat of bishul lo in the mazik,
mm-hmm.
it really only is a factor if he's an usher.
Right.
Because if he's a normal person, his idus will be in line with the market, and if he's a poor person,
okay.
then his idus will be ziburis.
Okay.
So why would we go ahead and punish a person that's an usher once they've already fulfilled the like the liquidity issue of
yeah.
the nizak, right? Because they'll be able to sell this piece of land
right.
quite easily because it is the whole market. Why would we punish this usher and make him pay like with his highest quality land? This like puppy svara doesn't make sense.
It's not a matter of punishing. It's a matter of, you know, what did the Torah prescribe as what you have to pay? The Torah says you have to pay your best, which will sometimes be to your advantage and sometimes be to your disadvantage. Or did the Torah say that there are objective categories? Just a question that needs to be answered. Or
the
yeah,
that's an answer.
Okay, so I think we'll pick up with this tomorrow. If it is any clearer,
you could break it up into three different things.
It doesn't matter.
What's
as long
tomorrow?
I don't need
a lot
three
more options here. A lot
we don't need more options. We only need two.
So you have to
is this an option? Is this an option? Is he the question? Yes or no?
I don't get it. I don't
have to tell you. I don't see how you can't
get
it.
No, I just, we're going in circles. I just.